I realized last week that when I first started here, so this is what I preach from, right? When I first started here, it was like that. And then it went to that, and then we're here, and now it needs to be about there. So I hate admitting that because I hate glasses, and they come from the devil, and but what are you going to do, right? So in this series we've been in the last few weeks, we've been talking about our emotions, what they are, what they mean, and how we deal with them. And today we're going to change things that, wow, don't touch your glasses before you put them on. Today we're going to change things a little bit. Today we're not talking about an emotion. We're going to talk about the precursor to these various emotions that we've already discussed. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Message paraphrased it this way, and I'm going to get in trouble for quoting the Message here. The Message paraphrased it this way, "Are you tired, worn out? Then come to me." Now, when we talk about labor, being burdened, tired, or worn out, there's a sense in with that, which that doesn't really seem like an emotion. But what we do know about being tired, we know that the feeling of being exhausted, of always being busy, it makes us vulnerable to all these other emotions that we really want to be free from. There are all kinds of studies that demonstrate this, that the busier you are, the more tired you are, the more you're likely to experience depression and anxiety and irritability. And so what we find is that being tired is kind of this gateway to all these emotions that many of us struggle with. And in this series, we've looked at some different psalms. David was a great warrior, a king, but he was also a very emotional individual. And he teaches us through his psalms how to process emotions by bringing us along and letting us go on kind of this journey with him. The psalms, as we've said, are not prescriptive. They're more descriptive in nature. David doesn't go through and say, here are the five things you need to do to deal with how you're feeling. Instead, you're just invited along on this journey, and you see how he feels and what he does in those situations. So today we're going to talk about probably the most famous psalm of all, and that's the 23rd Psalm. And really, we're just going to focus on the first few verses, because I think if we understand the first few verses, it unlocks the rest of the psalm for us. So here's what David says, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." You'll notice in the bulletin that the translation I used for the 23rd Psalm is the King James Version, because that's the way the 23rd Psalm is supposed to sound. I mean, it just doesn't sound right any other way. That you can't say that about the rest of the Bible, but that psalm was just supposed to have a rhythm and a rhyme to it as you go through. And we're going to talk about more about rhythm too. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, if the Lord is his shepherd, then what does that make David? That makes David a sheep. And that's not an especially flattering animal. Anybody who spent time around sheep knows that they're not the most intelligent critter on the face of the earth. They're not impressive because a sheep is completely dependent upon the shepherd. And one of the reasons we struggle with finding this rhythm of rest in our lives is that we confuse this relationship. We start to live like we're the shepherd rather than the sheep. And when we live like that, where I'm the shepherd instead of the sheep, I end up putting a lot of pressure on me that I was never meant to carry. And it makes it incredibly difficult to rest if you're putting all this weight on yourself. So David starts off by saying, "I'm not the shepherd, I'm the sheep." And by saying you're the sheep, you're humbling yourself. And you're declaring that you're in a state of dependence. You're saying, "I can't take care of myself by myself. I need God's help and I trust him to help me." And because I trust him to help me, David says, "I lack for nothing." Because I trust him, I can rest. And so what you find in Scripture is God gives us this, this rhythm for life. He gives us instructions on how we're supposed to take care of our bodies and our souls and our relationships. And part of that rhythm, a big part of that rhythm, is rest. A certain kind of rest that reconnects us to God and replenishes us. You see this from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. God's creating the world, he's creating everything. He's creating creation. And there's a rhythm to it. What you find is it's poetic. If you just read it out loud, you don't get it if you read it to yourself. But if you read it out loud, you get this poetic sense to it. And there are two lines that keep showing up as God creates the world. And these two lines kind of work as a refrain in a song or a poem. And these are the lines: God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning. So after the third day, God pauses and he appreciates what he's done. God sees that it's good, and then it's evening and morning, and then on the fourth day, he works again. At the end of the fourth day, God looks back at what he's done, and it's evening and morning. And there's this rhythm or repetition to it. And you get to the end of the creation account in Genesis 2, verse 3, it says, God rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And on the seventh day, he rests. This is how Scripture begins, with this rhythm. And you go then to Exodus, where you have the law. And what God does is he takes this rhythm and he makes it a requirement for his people. Because he commands the people to observe this same rhythm in their lives. Why does he do this? He does it because he's the manufacturer, and he's given you the directions for best practices to take care of yourself. Because he knows how we work. He knows how things will go best for us. And so he requires this rhythm. And so for his people, there was a daily rhythm where in the morning and in the evening and at mealtimes, they would just pause and take a breath and they would say this prayer and they would reflect on who God is, reflect on what God has done, and look around and see that it's good. And they had a weekly rhythm where there was a Sabbath where they would rest from all of their work. And what did you do on the Sabbath? Nothing. It wasn't about doing on the Sabbath. It was about being. And then there were yearly rhythms that God built into the calendar where he would have these feasts and these celebrations for the people where they would take a break from their work and from everything they were doing. And they would gather together in a community and they would celebrate how God had rescued them, how God had saved them in the past. And then in Leviticus, and I'm not going to go through every single book in the Old Testament, so don't worry. And then in Leviticus, God is instructing the people in this agriculture society that part of this rhythm of rest for them means every 7 years, they don't plant anything. Because he's built this into the universe. So every 7 years, he says to the people, let the ground rest. Don't plant anything. And I know we read this and we hear it and we say, well, yeah, we want to be obedient, but have you ever tried to talk a farmer into not planting this year? Because we have to eat, and we have to have stuff, right? So in Leviticus, God addresses this with the people in chapter 25, verse 20. He says, you may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? And he says, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. And while you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. God says, look, if you'll honor me with what I've asked you to do, then watch how I take care of you. Let me be the shepherd and you be the sheep. And so this rhythm is built into creation and he makes it required for his people because he knows that our lives are meant to be lived with this rhythm. And you and I, we violate this all the time. We violate this rhythm all the time. And eventually it will catch up to us. Because we live in a world where there's not a whole lot of rhythm. And nobody seems to notice. Because we don't even realize it ourselves. We're just living at this pace, doing what everybody else does. We don't have any evenings at home as a family. We can't find time to go to church, maybe more than one weekend a month. Because we've got kids' activities and everything else going on. We have plans for the weekend, and we just don't have time. But neither does anybody else. And so it just kind of, we all get lost in the crowd. Who in here likes to go out and dance? Yeah. See, nobody likes to dance. And when you don't like to dance, that means you're probably not good at it. So what do you do when you're not good at dancing, but your wife or somebody makes you go dance? You find a crowd of other people that can't dance. And you hide in the crowd. And the same thing with life. No, we just hide in the crowd of everybody else with no rhythm in their life. So we're just living at this pace, doing what everybody else does. And we go and we go. And some of you have learned the hard way, as I have, that this pace is unsustainable. That things start to get locked up. That you'll pay a price for this physically. Like, even if emotionally you can handle this pace, this stress and everything and the busyness in your life, eventually your body will say, nope, we're done. We're not going any further. Or relationally, you felt the effects of living with this high-speed rhythm in your life or lack of rhythm in your life because you're not taking the time you need to connect with the people in your life. And you're more irritable with them. And you're running so far ahead of them that they're farther away than you can even imagine. It affects us spiritually. If we're not resting and taking time to connect with God, you're much more vulnerable to temptation. It's much more difficult for you to be in tune with what His will is for your life. And you can either take some time to pause and appreciate each day and the Sabbath day of rest once a week, or it will catch up with you. God didn't design us to live this kind of pace, and so you feel like it's working. And you feel like your strategy of just going and going and going is working. Or you can just, if you can just make it to Christmas or Memorial Day or Labor Day, there's always the next day to make it to. And maybe you're even seeing some fruit from all this work that you've put in. And then one day the engine just locks up. What happened? Because you didn't see it coming. Neither did anybody else. But God did, because He knows how He built you. And He just hasn't made us to live this life with this kind of pace. So when you live with this rhythm of rest, it resets you physically. It renews us emotionally and restores us relationally with the people around us. But the second thing that living with this kind of rhythm does is it demonstrates that your faith is real. It shows that we really do believe that God has the power and the strength, that we really do believe what He has promised to be true. It teaches us to depend on Him. It teaches us to make His will a priority in our lives. And so David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And the word he uses here is, for shepherd is actually a compound word. It's not just shepherd, it's shepherd companion. He's saying, my shepherd companion, my personal shepherd. David doesn't think of himself as this sheep in this huge herd where he knows the shepherd, but the shepherd doesn't really know him. Because from the shepherd's perspective, all sheep look alike. And he doesn't really know the difference, doesn't really understand the varying needs of each individual sheep. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd companion. The Lord is my personal shepherd because He knows who I am, because He sees me. And because of that, I lack nothing. I lack for nothing. And if you think about it, isn't this why we have a difficult time resting? We struggle with resting because in our minds, we always lack something. Or if we could just have what we lack, then we could rest. If this need was taken care of, if this desire was satisfied, then I'd be able to take it easy and rest. But I lack this one thing, or this three or four things. And for some of you, what you feel like you lack is respect. And so you're going to work however many hours you have to work to get a promotion, to have the right title next to your name, to make the right kind of salary, because When you do that, then you will have the respect of the people around you because you've accomplished something. And you just work tirelessly to get what you lack. And then how many people do you talk to at the end of their career, whatever they did, they got it, and then they find out there's something else they lack? Or maybe you feel like you lack a bigger house or a newer car, or you lack a spouse, or you lack a child. And you just lay awake at night and you just are consumed with these thoughts of what you don't have. Other people have it, and you assume if I have what they had, I'd be able to rest. My life would be complete then, but I'm lacking what they have. It's what we lack that keeps us from resting. And so what comes to your mind when you think of what you lack? And if you have a hard time thinking of something, I mean, it'd be great if there was some kind of platform, some kind of thing where we could just scroll through it and be reminded of all the things that we don't have. Just like, maybe I'm spitballing here, but if there was just a way we could look into the lives of other people and be reminded repeatedly of what we don't have and what they do have. If there was some way to do that, like social media, somebody should invent that. Because there you're just reminded of everything that you don't have. And I made a list. If you go there, you can see beach vacations and blemish-free skin. Actually, you just need to learn how to edit your photo because that's what they did. Maybe it's style or muscles that you're lacking, or energy or an invitation or a wave runner or tickets to the football game or followers or friends. Maybe it's a date that you're lacking, or it's something a little bit more abstract like romance or happiness or purpose. In this culture, we're always reminded of what we lack, and it's what we lack that keeps us from being able to rest. Because we have this constant angst, if I just had this, if I just had that. And we push and we chase and we work hard and we get it. And then we find out that the lack is a moving target. There is something else now that we lack that we need to get. And it's always something else. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and when I have that relationship right, when I'm the sheep and he's the shepherd, I understand I lack nothing. And he's taking care of my deepest needs. Augustine put it this way. He said, our hearts are restless, Lord, until they find rest in you. In you we find what we've been lacking. So the question you ask yourself, are you living like the shepherd or are you living like the sheep? Because that tells you where your priorities are. Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He makes me lie down. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like David got pushed. Tripped, knocked down, whatever you want to call it. He says, he makes me lie down. It doesn't say he invites me to lie down. He makes me. Trips me, pushes me down because I'm in the grass. And that's what makes sounds like to me. There's a sense in which this is true. That if we keep violating this rhythm and we violate it and go on and on, life has a way, because God has built it into the universe, of making us lie down. You can either lie down or you will get knocked down. That's how it works. I was reading this week that shepherds will make sheep lie down, which is probably where David, as a former shepherd, got the idea. But when a sheep is eating, it won't stop long enough sometimes to digest its food. It just keeps eating and eating and eating, and depending on what kind of food, what kind of grasses or anything it's eating, it can get what's called sheep bloat, and that sounds attractive. But their systems can't digest the food fast enough with these gases that build up in their bodies. But they just keep eating because they don't know any better. And if they don't lie down long enough to let what they've ingested to digest, it becomes very dangerous for them. So a shepherd has to make them lie down. So they'll just stop. They stop eating, they stop consuming, they stop doing. It's kind of like staying off your phone for 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes, that's all it takes. Don't look at it for 10 minutes. Or lay awake in bed at night and just be still. There's an app on that you can get on iTunes that will tell you how often you look at your phone in a day. You probably don't want to download this because you'll be bothered by it, or you should be bothered by it. Everybody looks at their phone too much. I do. Wayne Mueller describes the Sabbath this way. He said, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia becomes our Sabbath. Our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, you can either stop and rest now or something will make you stop and it won't be a choice. The point is, one way or another, you will stop. In Psalm 23, as he says, he makes me lie down and he leads me beside quiet waters and he refreshes my soul. It's all about what God is doing for David. David's not saying, here are all the things I need to do. What David's saying is, you need to create enough margin in your life. You need to intentionally put yourself in a position where you can receive these things from God. David talks about posture. He's talking about lying down. He also talks about location, a place that's peaceful and quiet. And Jesus modeled this perfectly for us. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, we read about this day where the whole town comes out to listen to Jesus teach, and he's working miracles. And it's just a really busy time for him. And if there was anyone who had a full schedule, a lot to accomplish in a short amount of time, it would have been Jesus. But what do you read of Jesus doing in verse 35? And this is early in the morning that next day. While it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house where everyone else was. And he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So when was it? It's early in the morning. I don't know when it will be for you. Early in the morning is definitely not the one for me. For me, it's better at night. But this week, whether it's in the morning or night, just take 5 minutes. 5 minutes twice a day. And just read through the 23rd Psalm. Either every morning or every night, just take a few minutes. And just stop. Every week we should have this day of rest, of Sabbath, just a little peace and quiet. I mean, if you ask where Jesus went, he went off to be by himself, right? He didn't take his phone with him. He went off by himself. And what did he do? He prayed. He took time to connect. He took time to connect with God. So you say, okay, so I need to take some time to rest. What do I do while I'm not doing something? Here are just three questions to ask yourself about the time that you're spending in rest. Does it replenish me physically? Does it restore me emotionally? Does it renew me spiritually? These are all important questions. Like some of you hear this sermon and you've heard me say rest and you're thinking, okay, so play more video games. We tend to take our free time. We just stuff more stuff into our free time. That's not the right direction. Ask yourself, and you have to answer this question, what is it you do that replenishes and restores you? What is it you do that takes your mind off of everything else? That can be working on a car, cutting the grass, reading a book. It's different for everybody. It depends on the way God has wired you. For all of us, part of this rhythm of rest should be corporate worship. We gather together with other believers, we worship. For a friend of mine who spends all of his time in the office, he bought a place with a huge yard. and it takes him 4 hours to mow his yard. And he loves it. It's 4 hours of nothing. He doesn't have to deal with anything else except mowing the yard. So in that sense, he's kind of like a sheep. More like a sheep. Maybe it's taking a nap on Sunday afternoon. Maybe it's having a good meal with some close friends. And there are some other people who might want to join you, and you look at them and say, nope, this is what I'm going to relax. Because you can't do that with everybody. There are certain people you can be around who energize you, who help you recover from everything else you're going through. It's okay to have friends like that. Here's something if you're still struggling with this. In the Jewish Talmud, the Talmud is kind of an explanation of what the scriptures say. When it talks about the Sabbath, there were things that you weren't allowed to do on the Sabbath. But there were certain things you were commanded to do on the Sabbath. You were commanded not to work on the Sabbath. In the Jewish Talmud, a married couple on the Sabbath was commanded to make love. And we think, well, why is that? Well, not everybody thinks why is that, but some people just have to ask the questions, right? It's because God didn't intend for this to be work. He intended that to be in your marriage, to be something that replenishes and restores you emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and strengthens that bond between you and your wife or husband. Let me give you a quick trigger for all of this to help you in this next week. This week, whenever you plug in your phone to charge it, let that be a trigger for what we talked about, and just ask yourself, have I done this? Have I recharged today? Have I been intentional to create some margin and some quiet and some space where I can be replenished and restored and renewed? The point of this message is not to add more pressure and add more weight and make you feel guilty about all these things you're doing. And the other things you want to add because you know you need to do them. The point is to make you learn from Christ the unforced rhythms of grace. What's that mean? It means that you learn from him that he's what you've been lacking your whole life. He says in Matthew 11, he says, just come to me, come with me. Come do life with me. The reason you can't rest is because of what you lack, and you thought it was all these other things. What you've been lacking is him. When you learn that, you'll find rest for your souls. So this is just the message throughout the Gospels where Jesus is making it clear to one person after another. I'm what you've been missing. So to Matthew at the tax collector's booth, who's lacking this purpose for his life, Jesus says, come and follow me. For the woman at the well who was lacking satisfaction had gone from one relationship to another, trying to find what she was lacking. To her, Jesus says, I am the living water. If you will drink from me, you will never thirst again. So if you're a sheep and you're lacking some protection, and you're lacking hope or purpose, some guidance and direction in your life, Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd, and I see you, and I know you. It's up to us to acknowledge that and make that a priority in our lives, to just take some time and breathe. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we want to thank you for a day and a day when we can rest and spend our time rejoicing in what you have done for us by sending your Son to forgive us, to redeem us, to make us a new creation. I just pray, Lord, that you will help us not to put brakes on the new creation, to let it live the way you've designed us to live, to acknowledge you, to seek you in everything we do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.